Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. After Jesus called the 12 apostles and sent them to do the work of evangelists, he then gathered another 72 men. These were sent to preach in specific places to prepare the people for the kingdom of God. Jesus sent these men in pairs to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ into areas that he would later visit. They were not to carry a bunch of belongings with them, but instead they were to make their living by the gospel. That is, the needs of these 72 evangelists were supplied by those who heard the message, the word that they came to bring. While Jesus tells them that their needs will be provided for, Jesus also informs them that their task will not be easy. For not all cities will receive these men. Not all homes will welcome them. And if they were rejected, Jesus instructed them to shake the dust off their feet as they leave that city. Jesus says to these men, as we heard in our gospel, "I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Jesus says that he is the one who is doing the sending. He sends out these men who have been called by the gospel, who are Christians themselves, who love this word of God and the forgiveness of sins that they have received from Christ, and who want to tell others that good news. But Jesus says that those whom he sends are lambs among wolves. While 72 may seem to be a great number, they go in pairs to a great region. So they are spread out, and as a result, they are actually outnumbered by wolves. Wolves are those who reject that pure word of God and persecute the men whom our Lord sends, those who do not receive with meekness that word of Christ, and they're all around. As Jesus described in his Sermon on the Mount, that these are people who are dressed in sheepskin, appearing innocent. They often behave as Christians. They often even insist that they are Christian. They can put on good shows of righteousness. They can sport their Bible and can quote Bible passages. And they can even appear to be like good and upright people like the Pharisees. But they can kill in the name of God, thinking that they are offering God a service. They can be leaders and models to the church, but they have no faith, for they are in fact not sheep, but wolves. They harm, they persecute, they destroy, even if their intentions are what they feel are good. But Jesus sends men for the ministry anyway. He knows that there will be casualties. He knows the difficulty that they will face. He knows because these men whom he sends are not above their master. Who is their master? Is their master the ones whom they preach to, who hear the word of God, the hearers of the word of God? No, their master is Jesus Christ, the one who does the sending. And as Jesus teaches, servants are not above their master. So therefore, if Jesus would suffer wrongly, if Jesus would be persecuted, if Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, then it most certainly follows that the men whom Jesus sends, who are under their master, may also suffer wrongly, be persecuted, and face trials all along the way. What are these men who are sent by Jesus to teach? They are to preach, as Jesus said, that the kingdom of God is near. They are to preach the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. They are to prepare the people who would then be visited by Jesus with this gospel message. They are to prepare sinners to be received into God's eternal kingdom. In fact, they are to prepare sinners to die in Christ. And to do so, they preach Christ and salvation in Christ alone. They are to preach what the prophets preached, which John the Baptist preached, which Jesus himself preached, which is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if somebody comes up to you and says, repent, how likely are you to suddenly say, that sounds like a good idea, I will go ahead and repent? If somebody comes up to you and says, repent, and points out things that you have done, the natural inclination of man is to become defensive and to try to prove innocence. For the natural man does not want to be told that he is a sinner. No one, according to his sinful flesh, wants to be brought to his knees in repentance. No one, according to his sinful flesh, wants to admit guilt. Everyone wants to compare himself to the next person and say, I'm a lot better than that person. And most would want to say, I've been a pretty good person. And most would want to claim salvation on account of his own personal righteousness. But that, of course, is not the way to salvation. And that is why our Lord Christ calls on the men whom he sends to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in Christ's name. The way of salvation is the way of peace, which the world cannot give. And peace does not well in from within the person, but instead that peace of God comes from outside of us. It comes from God. Jesus alone is that Prince of Peace who earned peace for us, and he distributes that peace to us. When we are reconciled to God our Father through Christ, we have this peace. And this is also why Jesus instituted the office of the Holy Ministry, to deliver his peace to a world filled with sinners, to declare these sinners to actually be righteous in Christ, to declare them to be saints, and to distribute the love of Christ to a people who are hostile to him, to keep on reminding sinners through the continued preaching of the men that he sends that they need this forgiveness of sins. When we don't constantly hear this law which accuses us and our need for the forgiveness of sins through the gospel, we will often let go of it, thinking that we already have it. Jesus sends men today to keep on reminding us how we dearly need the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, how we dearly need Jesus himself. It is quite amazing that Jesus has chosen to send out these sinners to proclaim that message, those 72. And it is amazing that Jesus still chooses to send sinners today to deliver the glorious gifts of God to fellow sinners. That is, the men whom he sends today, your pastor, the pastors whom you have had before me, have all been sinners. We have that 100% track record of being sinners who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we tell you of this grace of God in Christ Jesus. While this peace and this righteousness and this love comes to us as a free gift, this forgiveness of sins that is granted to us is not free. Someone had to earn it, and it is Jesus who did it. That is why he became a man, why he had the world's sin heaped upon him, including your sin and mine, why he suffered the penalty for sin when he shed his innocent blood on the cross, and why he died being forsaken by his Father, abandoned by him. For Jesus gave up his life, the ultimate payment, so that we can have the forgiveness of sins. But in giving this life, he now grants to you eternal life for free. He gives you access to God your Father, and he grants you his peace. He declares that you are now, even now, as a baptized child of God, a member of his kingdom. This good news is declared by men whom Christ sends. Jesus did not just call the 12 apostles or the 72 to be ministers of the word back then, but Jesus continues to call men to preach the gospel today. Jesus instituted this ministry. He instituted it so that you have the opportunity to gather in the house of God and hear that word of God, so that the gifts of God in Christ Jesus would be distributed to you, so that our young ones will be baptized, and so that you can receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, so that the unrighteous will be declared righteous, so that the heathen will be declared God's saints, and so that all who believe in Christ will be absolved. Ministers called by Christ are called to be faithful to him. Ministers are not called to preach according to the itching ears of the people. They are not called to be conformed to the present world, but they are called to tell the people to hear Christ and him crucified. They are slaves of Christ, and as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, stewards of the mysteries of God. Their orders then are clear, for they are ordered by God. They preach what God has instructed. They forgive sins in accordance to God's will as he has instructed, and they give an account to God of their stewardship. Their needs are to be covered by those who hear them. Their calling is not easy, as Jesus testifies, but their calling is important, and it is certainly rewarding. For sinners are brought to Christ, forgiven of their sin, and declared acceptable and holy by God through this ministry by which the Holy Spirit is at work. Ministers of Christ are the mouthpiece of God. They are to be humble instruments through whom God does great and glorious wonders. For in their work, sinners are baptized, sinners are absolved, sinners are fed with the body and blood of Christ, and through this, sinners are now declared to be saints. Such amazing wonders. Today, as you have seen and heard, is St. Luke the Evangelist. On this day, October 18th, the church observes St. Luke. Tradition has it that St. Luke was numbered among the 72 who were sent by Jesus to preach. But we do not know for certain if that is true. But what we do know is that Luke accompanied Paul on some of Paul's missionary journeys, as it is recorded in another book written by Luke, and that is the book of Acts. So Luke not only wrote the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the book of Luke, but Luke also wrote about what took place in the early church at its beginning, upon Christ's ascension. And that is, he wrote the book of Acts. Luke himself was a physician. That is, he was a doctor. He was called by Christ, though, to also serve as an evangelist, or one who would spread the gospel. The word evangelist comes from the Greek word for gospel. The Greek word is evangel. So evangelists are those who declare the gospel. St. Luke declared the gospel through his missionary work with St. Paul, and especially in writing the gospel of Luke and his succeeding book, the book of Acts. In the book of Luke, Luke does not write about himself. He does not want you to focus on Luke. Instead, Luke writes about Jesus, for he wants you to fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. Luke himself was not so much an eyewitness to the events that took place, like the 12 apostles were, but Luke says that he used the testimony of eyewitnesses to write to you about who Christ is and what he did in his ministry. The book of Luke has some unique features to it, including those various songs that we typically hear during the season of Advent, including the song of Mary and the song of Zechariah and the song of Simeon. Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the very words that he wrote. And Luke, as he wrote these things, did so under the apostolic supervision of the Apostle Paul. Luke wrote these books using very eloquent and sophisticated Greek. It is the most difficult Greek in the New Testament. This testifies to Luke's own knowledge and skill, which is suitable for being a physician. But what is most important is that Luke writes under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, his writings are not his own opinions, but his writings are the very word of God, giving an accurate and true testimony concerning Christ and the early church. Luke keeps the main thing, giving an account of the deeds of Jesus Christ, from our Lord's conception to his public ministry, to his passion, to his death, resurrection, and ascension, and to Christ's own continued work among Christians through his Spirit. In Luke's second book, known as Acts, we hear both Peter and Paul, who preach of Christ and him crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, all faithful preaching to this day is to follow that same pattern as outlined in the body or in the Bible, that is, preaching Christ and him crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. This is what you need, for Jesus alone gives you access to eternal life. Jesus alone can forgive. Jesus alone can take you, who should know yourself to be a sinner, and declare you to be a saint and acceptable to heaven. Therefore, we must never assume, deny, or gloss over Christ and him crucified. But the preaching of Christ must always be found in Christian churches. We pray that God will continue to send laborers into his harvest. For as Jesus says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and you are brought into his fold through the faithful proclamation of the word. As Christians, God has given you duties and responsibilities, and one is of prayer. Just as Jesus instructed the 72 to pray, so also God desires to hear your prayers. Pray to God in repentance. Pray to the Lord for the well-being of your family and friends, especially of their spiritual well-being. Pray for your pastor whom Jesus sent to you. And pray for these, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that they too may remain faithful and are received into God's eternal kingdom. And pray, as Jesus said in today's gospel, that faithful laborers will be continued to be sent into his harvest. God delights in your prayers. He will hear them and answer them in accordance to his good and gracious will. God kept his promise in sending Christ, the crucified one, who has come into our presence with his message of grace. And for that, we give him thanks. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.